What's going on, guys? Welcome back into the Fantasy Slant. It is powered by Pro Football Focus and brought to you by DraftKings.com. I am your host, Mike Tagliere. I am joined by my co-host, Kevin Cole, who has a sick child at home. These things happen all the time, so we're sorry it's a little bit later in the day, but family duty calls before anything. Kevin, I know we spoke about week 14 a little bit and how the injuries kind of affected everything, including him in the fishbowl. And a lot of teams played. Kevin, you want to share what happened?
Yeah, well, I was just telling Mike how I had been the points leader and everything like else going into it, and had a fantastic week the prior week when I was on bye. But then my Dalton Eifert, V-Jax, Thomas Rawls combo wasn't so good.
It was a nightmare in week 14. It was just as bad. Maybe not as bad as Halloween, but it was awful. The Halloween weekend, we know that, but it was dreadful. And now we're here in the second week of the fantasy playoffs. So there's a lot of questions that a lot of people are going to want to have answered in this podcast. So we're going to try and touch on every single game as fast as possible, because we know that you don't have all the time in the world. If you guys have any questions outside of this, you can follow us on Twitter. Kevin is at Cole_Kev. Myself, I am at Mike Tagliere NFL. But let's get right into the games. The first game tonight, it's got some fantasy implications. There's some players in between the Bucs at the Rams. The Rams played better last weekend, but the main player I want to talk about right now is Mike Evans. Now, obviously, Vincent Jackson's out for this, Kevin. You just touched on, you had him in your lineup. Of course, he's out. But Mike Evans, he's a target monster with Vincent Jackson out of the lineup. Now, we have Austin Seferian Jenkins back in there, but what are you expecting from Mike Evans tonight? Do you think that he could be plugged into a lineup, you know, over someone like a Jarvis Landry?
I don't think I put him over a lineup over Jarvis Landry. I mean, I think Landry is a pretty consistent option. It's tough. I mean, the Rams defense against the pass in particular is pretty good. So I think that limits his upside somewhat. And a lot of the numbers that Evans was putting up earlier this year with V-Jax out, also with Seferian Jenkins out. So now that Jenkins is back, we'll end up seeing what's happening. I think what we've seen with Tampa Bay is if they can get a lead, they're willing to take the air out of the ball and just run it. And St. Louis has been somewhat vulnerable to the run recently. So I don't think he's the safest play. It's kind of a ceiling floor sort of thing. I think Jarvis Landry is a much, much higher floor, but then Evans probably has a higher ceiling. So it depends on how you want to go.
Exactly. And I guess it depends on the rest of the way your lineup is constructed. Now, obviously the concern that you would have with someone like Mike Evans is looking at last week, look what Calvin Johnson did. I mean, he was held to one catch for 16 yards. The week before that, Larry Fitzgerald, 8 catches for 55 yards. Obviously they like to take away that number one option. They got a few corners there that can take them away. Now the part where you can hang your hat on Evans, the reason I view him as a lower end number two wide receiver in fantasy this week is with Vincent Jackson out, he has averaged 13 targets per game, whereas with Vincent Jackson in the lineup, 8 targets per game. That has translated to, in PPR leagues, 20.6 points to 10.8. So it's almost double his PPR points when Vincent Jackson's out of the lineup. Now, the matchup is just really difficult, so I wouldn't trust him as anything more than a low-end wide receiver too. He's not somebody I would play in DFS at all. Obviously, we know you're plugging in Doug Martin, you're plugging in Todd Gurley. Those are goes. Moving on to the next game, because that one's not – it's going to be a lower-scoring game. The Jets at the Cowboys, this is a Saturday game. So for those of you that have lineups that, you know, you might have some of these players that were on your bench or whatever the case may be, know that this is a Saturday game, so pay attention to that. Look at all your lineups before then. Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, those guys are locks. But what about Ryan Fitzpatrick this week? I mean, is he somebody that, I mean, I loved him last week and that really panned out, but is he somebody that you could trust against the Cowboys, or do you think that the Cowboys literally cannot generate enough points to make the Jets throw the ball?
You know, the Jets have been willing to throw the ball, even in somewhat close games. So I don't know if I'm that concerned. Thing is, the Cowboys play at a very slow pace. So that's always a concern when you're going against them with anyone. I think Fitzpatrick has shown to have a decent floor. So, I mean, the thing is, this year, the quarterback is just so deep that I'm not saying you have to play Fitzpatrick, but I wouldn't be scared to play him either.
That's where I'm at with him this week. I'm starting Matt Stafford over him in that league I told you about. Now, on the other side of the ball, Darren McFadden, he's been struggling. I did an article. If you guys had a chance to check it out, it was the, you know, kind of like the players to fade and players to buy into One of them to fade was Darren McFadden. Over the last 4 weeks, we have him graded as the worst running back in football. And on top of that, his carries have been going down. I mean, he was getting 25 plus touches every week. Now, over the last 2 weeks, he hasn't even seen 20 carries. Mm-hmm. Is there a concern there, especially going up against the Jets' run defense that has been pretty stout?
Oh, yeah, big time concern. I think we talked about McFadden last week and what to do with him, and we kind of urged caution because the prior week had an okay game, but that was only because he got a goal line plunge right after a turnover. That offense is just not able to sustain drives at all, and if you can't sustain drives, then you just can't afford to run the ball, because if you're in, you know, long third down situations, even long second down situations, you can't really hand the ball off to McFadden because he broke off a couple of long runs, but other than that, he's just been going 2 yards and just running into the defensive lineman and falling down, basically.
Yeah, and I said in that same article, would you be okay with dropping Dez Bryant altogether?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like I said, everything contingent on everything. I got these I'm in some really deep leagues where I have them, and it's kind of like you almost have to play them, and you just get sick doing that every week. But this is not ideal with Revis, obviously.
Yeah, he has had a decent matchup the last 2 weeks and hasn't done anything. I'm okay with cutting bait and saying, you know what, it's just better. I'll just take my chances on someone else. I mean, I think Dez Bryant right now, a good game would be 80 yards. I think that'd be considered a really good game for Dez Bryant.
Yeah, he needs a touchdown.
Yeah, he would need a touchdown, and Matt Castle just doesn't throw those. He'd think he's allergic to him, actually. But the Chiefs are playing the Ravens. Now, Spencer Ware, I don't think that they've ruled him out just yet, but I'm pretty sure that Spencer Ware is not going to play this week.
Yeah,
I am all over Charcandrick West as a RB1, a low-end RB1. If for some reason Ware doesn't play this game, which I don't think he does, I've heard a lot of things saying, well, you know, the Ravens are a top-5 run defense. I'm not buying it. I'm buying game script in this one. I don't think that the Ravens can score very much in the Chiefs. And I think Charcandrick West is a lock for 20 carries. It's just kind of like the same reason I like Thomas Rawls last week. Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm definitely with you. I think in PPR, I'd put him as a mid-range RB1 with some upside. I mean, in that offense, when you can catch the ball, they're going to put a hurting on them probably. They should get some turnovers, be in good field position. I think West is an extremely solid play, and anyone that has held him, I think people may have forgotten about it too. So he's one of these guys that you kind of forget how good he was when he was just him getting the ball.
Yeah, no, he was really good. And that's what I'm saying. If he's the lone back, start him up. Like, don't worry about the Ravens being that. The game script is going to call for him getting plenty. Jeremy Maclin is a borderline wide receiver one in this game as well. And then moving to the Ravens, I think Kamar Aiken could be salvageable in this game. I think he should see plenty of targets. Hopefully they're from Matt Schaub and not from Jimmy Clausen. And then, you know, Buck Allen against the Chiefs. So what do you, I mean, obviously we're playing Charcandrick West over Buck Allen, mm-hmm. but Buck Allen, what's a reasonable expectation for him this week?
I mean, I don't think he's going to get a touchdown. I don't think he's going to get a touchdown. I expect him to get, 4 to 6 catches, maybe 30 to 50 yards. And I think that's probably where you're really going to get most of your points from. He hasn't been very efficient running the ball, but I don't know if it's necessarily his fault. So maybe he'll get another 30 to 60 on the ground. But I think that's kind of his upside is pretty limited. I mean, he had that one blow up game, but there was some pretty poor tackling and pretty much everything possibly went right. And I guess it was a game against the Dolphins, right? So everything possibly went right, and I don't see that happening.
Yeah, it like the stars aligned for it to be perfect. So he's not someone that you want to trust too much. I mean,
Dolphins really help. I want to see what they can do with Philip Rivers this week. I think I'm actually going to start Philip Rivers, I think, in a league or two.
Yes, we are not to that game yet, but absolutely, that's going to be one of my sleepers of the week, that I think that he could finish as a QB1 this week, we'll get into that. But moving on to the Texans at the Colts. Now, this is a game. Is this a game for the division? Like, who would be in first place?
I think everyone's still in contention because unless you have zero victories, you're within like 2 games. It's interesting. I think it is kind of for the top spot there, right?
I believe it is, and I think the Texans win this game, believe it or not. I mean, Andrew Luck's not coming back. I don't know if Matt Hasselbeck is even coming back. I think
Hasselbeck isn't going to play, right? But
he might die.
But Hoyer's not going to play.
No, Hoyer's not going to play, but actually, I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing. I know a lot of people were concerned about DeAndre Hopkins, but if you recall, TJ Yates played the game where DeAndre Hopkins burned Darrell Revis, so I'm not really concerned about Vontae Davis. I mean, he burned them before the Colts, so I mean, he's not somebody I'd worry too much about, but Now, talking about borderline running backs, what do you think if you're sitting there with Frank Gore in your hand, in one hand, and then you have Javorius Buck Allen in the other, which of those two running backs would you play this week?
That is an interesting one. I think I would go with Gore.
I agree.
I don't like it, but, you know, I think I'd go with Gore. I mean, I just think the Ravens had the potential to just put up like 3 points, basically.
Yeah, I mean, the Colts, I mean, I don't know if you could say that the Colts might have that same thing, but I would go with Gore as well. Although, I believe the Texans win that game, but it's going to be one of those like gutted out games where I just don't see much happening. But is there anybody else in that game that you really want to talk about? I mean, T.Y. Hilton, I guess you're kind of stuck starting him if you have him.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Hasselbeck seems to like him.
Yeah.
Don't like Moncrief. Moncrief might not play.
He might not play. He's not practicing again. I did see that. But yeah, that game, there's not too much to talk about. I do like the Texans defense in that one, the defense special teams, even though they're on the road. But the Titans at the Patriots, this is going to be a shellacking. My Yahoo article is going to be out later today for Yahoo DFS, and it's got a whole bunch of Patriots in it for a good reason. LeGarrette Blount, if you've been sleeping under a rock, is out for the season. Something's going on with his hip. I don't think we heard the exact details, but it doesn't matter. He's out for the year. The Titans have been a top 10 defense against the run. I'm not trusting Brandon Bolden. I mean, there's a lot of people that are like, oh, Brandon Bolden for sure. James White, he's the hit or miss guy. I don't think that that's the case at all. I haven't talked with you about this at all, Kevin. What's your take on the backfield? Who would you trust? If it came down to it, who are you picking between James White and Brandon Bolden?
I think I'm picking White, but I think Bolden has always been semi-effective when he's played. So he's not the worst option. He's not the worst option out there. So we'll see what happens.
I didn't know if my memory was like dragging me in a direction that was bad. But he's averaged 3.1 yards per carry over the last 2 years, Brandon Bolden has. So I just feel like literally he was like fourth on the depth chart. You got to think Deion Lewis, LeGarrette Blount, James White, and now Brandon Bolden. So, I mean, I know they kept him around. I think he's more of a special teams player than anything. But what it means to me is that the Patriots are going to have to pass the ball a lot more than they may have in the time past. I know Kevin, he might be dealing with some sound things right now. So I'm going to keep going with the game here, but I'm going to talk to you guys about the Patriots.
I have a little visitor here. You want to see?
Hey, there's a visitor. He's got his son.
you want to say hi? Bye.
Hi, bye.
Hi, bye. Hi, bye. That's what I like.
Hi and bye. Oh, that's
I'll be out in a little bit, okay?
All right. So, like I said, we knew that Kevin might have to take off from time to time in between, but hopefully everything's okay there. But the Patriots, they're going to be throwing the ball 40-plus times a game. Are they not, Kevin? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean they love to throw the ball. Obviously, Blount being out is not gonna change that. If anything, it'll make it even more severe. So I expect a lot of passing.
I agree. I'm with you in that one. And the Titans allow the fifth most points to quarterbacks. They have allowed 11 passing touchdowns in the last three games to Derek Carr, Blake Bortles, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm loving Tom Brady this week. He actually is my number one quarterback this week. I think. Call me nuts, and I probably am. I think a lot of people are going to consider me nuts when I say that. I think Brandon LaFell is going to have a breakout week here soon enough. And I don't know if he's somebody that you can necessarily trust in your lineup, but he's somebody that I could see having a 102 touchdown game one of these weeks. And it would not shock me if it came this week. I know that, Kevin, I'm not sure if there's more news that came out about Julian Edelman. I don't know if he's going to play. I know he's been practicing. But
yeah, I don't see him play. I mean, he had a fifth metatarsal Jones fracture. I was shocked that Dez came back as quickly as he did. And we're talking about, I mean, I just highly doubt that they would risk it, because it's not like they're going to miss the playoffs or something like that. So there's no reason to bring him back.
That's how I feel about it. He's got Gronk back. You know, he's got Amendola. He's got, like I said, Brandon LaFell. I like the Patriots this week. I like James White as well. So play them at obviously your own risk, but I think those are guys that I would trust actually in playoff time. And, you know, Patriots running backs have burned me before, so this is nothing new. Now, usually when one quarterback puts up a lot of points, the other one tends to be a solid play as well. Would you feel comfortable playing Marcus Mariota?
You know, I wouldn't feel super comfortable, but I think he's an interesting play. I think it's a better play than when he was playing against the Jets last week. And you got, I mean, you're not going to get another receiving touchdown, although that was nice to see. But he, you know, the Patriots give up points. There's going to be a lot of garbage time there. I think he's a good play. Plus, who knows, he could rip off a, you know, 20, 30 yard run or something like that.
Yeah, I think he's like that middling quarterback too. Obviously, I mean, there's some other quarterbacks I may play over him. But going on to we're not starting any running back from the Titans. That's just stay away from that.
Bishop Sankey's back.
Oh God, don't make me cry, Kevin. Bishop Sankey still haunts my dreams from time to time. But the Bills at the Redskins, the Bills were let down last week. Let's face it. It started out strong. Sammy Watkins catching a touchdown early on. It seems like this is a trend, though, Kevin. It just seems like it's happening every single week. The Washington secondary is another one that they can pick on. The question is, will Rex Ryan decide to do that all game? Or is this going to be a LeSean McCoy game? Who knows? But, I mean, it's come to the point where we can trust Sammy Watkins, correct? Like every single week?
You know, I said no before, and I kind of stand by that somewhat. I mean, he's catching one of these long bombs every week. So you just take away one of those 40, 50 yard passes and all of a sudden his line does not look so impressive. So, I mean, I think he's proven that he's a good option that they should be throwing the ball more to. I would just love to see him get more targets though.
I would love to see him get more targets as well, just to see what he could do with them. But obviously they're handing the ball off a lot to LeSean McCoy, and you're going to play him no matter who else is in your lineup. He against the Redskins, they're not very good. They're just not a very good defense. This game is in Washington, though, so I don't know if it's necessarily as high scoring as you would like. But you're playing McCoy. I like Watkins. I don't know if you could ever sit him with the way he's been playing.
Yeah, on a points per game basis, he's been pretty awesome, especially if you consider the fact that week one he put up that zero, and hopefully you won't see that again.
Oh yeah, his efficiency per points per target has been through the roof. So that's why I'm sticking with him. On the Redskins, there is nobody on that team that you could feel safe playing outside of Jordan Reed. You know, Kirk Cousins has been up and down. He's better at home, but the Bills, they just lost Stephon Gilmore, which hurts a little bit. But I mean, can you really trust DeSean Jackson or Pierre Garçon in any imaginable way?
No, it doesn't seem much. Not with Reed getting such a big share, a slice of the pie.
Yeah, Reed's the only one from the Redskins I'd probably start. Matt Jones is teetering there, but even then, I think you could find some better options outside of Matt Jones. Going on to the Bears at the Vikings, the Bears are in a downslide here, Kevin. It's kind of what I was expecting. It's sad. I wanted to root for them, and then now here we are. But they're going to Minnesota. There's a chance for snow in this game, is what I've been hearing. And Adrian Peterson, you're starting him. You're not starting Teddy Bridgewater. You're not starting... An interesting one to me this week, I'm interested to hear your take. Stephon Diggs, is he somebody that, like, in a pinch, like, say you had a receiver go down, in a pinch, would you be able to start Stephon Diggs in this matchup and feel semi-confident about it?
I think you can. I mean, it's weird to say that because he's been so bad. But I remember earlier this year, after he had a handful of good games, when you looked at the schedule, it was ugly, and it's been ugly. And that offense rushes the ball a lot. Bridgewater is not exactly stretching the field, but even last week in an awful matchup, he was still targeted going against Patrick Peterson. He was still targeted a decent amount. So I think it's a situation where if he's getting targets, he looks like he's playing decently well. So I think you can fire him up, especially with the carnage that's gone on in some of the, if you need a flex or something like that.
Yeah, I think he's bouncing. I think he's due for a bounce back week. And when the Vikings played the Bears back in week 8, the Minnesota receivers totaled 138 yards and a touchdown. So it's always possible that he gets back on the radar. I think he's one of those under the radar guys where even if you're talking about DFS and if you're looking for a cheaper receiver that you could toss in there, I don't think that he's the worst idea. You're obviously starting Alshon Jeffrey. But
if he plays,
he better play. This guy.
I don't know. We've heard this calf. Right? It's a calf and an illness. I don't know. I haven't heard this combo before, but we've heard the calf thing before, and I don't know, man. This guy's breaking my heart. He was my guy this season.
He sure was, and he is breaking your heart.
You got that touchdown. You could have gotten more touchdowns.
There was one that at the end of the game
get a little air under the ball.
Mm-hmm. It would have been actually a game winner had he caught the second one, but it was in double coverage, so it wasn't an easy catch by any means.
He's kind of open though, if they would have got a little deeper, I think. But anyway,
but Cutler worked out for you though. I know we talked about Cutler and Rivers.
Yeah, Cutler did work out. You know, Cutler's an interesting guy. I think he's probably of any of the quarterbacks out there, if the conditions are a little bit wobbly and snowy, at least you know he has that cannon. So hopefully he can still pass.
And the degaff factor.
Yeah, and he can just degaff it up to Alshon, but he needs Alshon.
He does. He absolutely does. If Alshon doesn't play, I can't really trust Cutler. I mean, Marquise Wilson's out. He's on the IR.
Yeah.
I don't know if Eddie Royal, if he died, but there, I don't know who he'd throw to.
No, it was at his funeral though, but yeah.
No, nobody was there. But yeah, that's pretty much for at that game. The Giants and the Panthers are going to are going to get together. Now, Kevin, I don't know if I'm nuts, but I think this could be a game where it's just like that upset that we all been waiting for, that this entire season has been filled with upsets. Yeah. Now, do you see this as a game where the Panthers, like, you know, they're a little bit banged up now, you know, Jonathan Stewart, they've caught the carries have caught up with him. He has the second most carries in the league. Ron Rivera said before last week that he wanted to dial back Jonathan Stewart's carries. This is me right now telling you, drop Jonathan Stewart.
I would drop him
right now.
Yeah, I mean, his upside was looking a little bit better recently, but I can see that.
He's not going to play this week, and even if he comes back, the workload is going to be dialed back. They're going to try and keep him fresh for the playoffs. They've locked up their berth. I mean, I just don't see any reason to rush him back. They need him back for the playoffs more than anything. I think they care about that more than they do the perfect season. So I think this is one of those weird weeks where we could see, you know, that the stars align and the Giants beat them. Now, they're going to match up Josh Norman with Odell Beckham one-on-one. Josh Norman's out there talking about, I want to follow Odell Beckham everywhere. I don't know if that's something he should wish for. What advice can you give to those out there that own Odell Beckham and are a little scared of the matchup?
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, obviously. It's one of those situations that's kind of interesting. I think people have a lot more faith that Beckham can play well rather than Julio. And I mean, for good reason, because Julio had faced Norman before and had struggled against him before. And Beckham, you know, I mean, I don't want to get too much into the tape or everything else, but he does seem like somebody who just kind of gets open. And you also have Eli. I mean, Eli is willing to just throw the ball into some tight spots, so you don't have to worry about him, I think, avoiding Norman altogether. So I'm definitely starting Beckham. I don't know how you can sit him unless you have an insane roster as far as studs on the wide receiver position.
Right. And I don't think that there's any way that you could ever bench Odell Beckham. And I'm going to tell you this right now. If they stick with Josh Norman one-on-one the entire game, he will get burnt on a couple of plays. The reason why I think that Odell Beckham is a better play than Julio Jones against Josh Norman, Julio is that bigger receiver. Now, he's fast, don't get me wrong, but he's that bigger receiver, whereas Odell Beckham is that little smaller one. Those guys are almost impossible to contain one-on-one. Whereas when you look at, you know, what he did to Richard Sherman last year, I don't know if you remember that route that he ran against Sherman, got spun around, beat it down the field, and, you know, that's going to happen.
A whole lot else, though, in that game, did he? I mean, well, the only reason I push back against that a little bit is Sherman did pretty good against Antonio Brown this year, and he's kind of a similar profile, I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you can kind of think about that. But
these quarterbacks, what they do is they just hold every single play. But no, the more physical they are, the more that they can do it. Now, I think it's in New York, so a lot of things set up well, I think, for a good game. I wouldn't be scared to start Beckham, no doubt about it.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with it too. Now, this is going to segue into the next game. Josh Norman, we've talked about it last week. Josh Norman doesn't go into the slot to cover wide receivers. He's talked about wanting to do that with Beckham. I don't think they do that. If they didn't do it with Julio, they won't do it with him.
I highly doubt that. Why would you? You can't just start doing that.
No, I don't see that either. And Kevin, I want someone to explain to me. I want a phone call. I don't really care what happens. I want something from the Atlanta Falcons as an explanation why Julio Jones, this is the next game, by the way, so I'm not just going on a tangent here. Julio Jones played 30% of his snaps out of the slot in weeks 1 through 13. Now, did you know how many snaps he played out of the slot last week?
I can't remember. It was something like 10% though, right?
He played 3 snaps out of the slot.
Yeah.
3. It's a joke. He saw 1 target out of the slot. I don't know what are they thinking? Like, let's say, let's alter our game plan and just not put him in the slot at all. That's just, you know, Josh Norman's not very good. We got Roddy White on the other side of the field. Like, I don't know what they were thinking.
I don't know. They just, you know, these guys, they love their schemes, you know, these, I mean, Shanahan, whoever, they think, I mean, not, okay, first of all, I'm going on a little bit of a rant here, but I do think that sometimes these guys think their scheme is more important than the players, and that's a bunch of bull, obviously. I mean, look at what Kubiak was trying to do with Peyton Manning earlier this year. I mean, these guys really think players are commodities, but they're not. They're the ones who really make things work. But anyway, that's my rant.
No, that makes sense. And well, I mean, the egos can't get in the way when it comes to this stuff. And unfortunately, that's where we are. Julio Jones is my top wide receiver play this week. I think that it's a week where it's like, okay, Matt Ryan's going to say, you know what? I really don't even care. Like, what are we doing here? I'm going to throw to Julio Jones nonstop all game, and he's going to catch it, and we're going to score some points because we need to score points. They didn't score a single point against Carolina last week. They were embarrassed. The Panthers were taking pictures on the sideline before the game was even over as a team. It was a little immature, but it put the Falcons in their place. They didn't look like they came to play at all. What do you feel about this game against Jacksonville? I know the biggest question, I guess, Denard Robinson, how do you feel about him? And before you even tell me that, I want to put my little disclaimer in here about Denard Robinson. There was one other week this year where TJ Yeldon didn't play. And it doesn't look like TJ Yeldon's going to play this week. So we'll say that. Denard Robinson got 7 carries in that game. I don't know. I mean, there's been weeks where even TJ Yeldon himself, when he was in the lineup against the Chargers, they gave him 9 carries. So is there any way that you can reassure me and all of these Denard Robinson owners out there why they should trust Denard Robinson over some other top 15 running backs?
Yeah, I mean, the Robinson love, I get it, because he played well last year when he had an opportunity. He's looked, you know, maybe better than Yeldon. I don't know. You know, I don't want to say. I haven't watched enough Jaguar football, thank God, to really know what's going on. I guess you can't really make fun of the Jaguars this year. But he has a decent floor, I think, because the Falcons defense is that bad, and we've seen some blow-up performances against them. The Jaguars are I think they have a 27-point over-under, team over-under, so that's huge. They're at home. They're a favorite. They could get up big. You never know what can end up happening. So I think he's got a few things going for him. But, you know, the problem with Yeldon is he never scored any touchdowns because they love to throw the ball in the red zone. So we'll see if they continue to do that or not.
Yeah, it's one of those interesting matchups. You know, you're playing Allen Robinson you're going to play. Allen Hurns is more teetering. But here's the good thing, guys. Football's back. We have DFS. The playoffs are here. But 1 week fantasy, if you are out of your season long playoffs, you can play 1 week fantasy at DraftKings.com. There are millions being won each and every week. Every play and every game could take you closer to a life changing payday. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code PFF to play for free with your first deposit in this Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest. First place takes home $100,000. Enter PFF for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Kevin, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people playing Denard Robinson inside of their fantasy, inside of their DFS lineups. Unfortunately, I had Thomas Rawls in quite a few last week, and it burned me. Now, I also had some Eddie Lacy. That's the next game. The Packers at the Raiders. I liked Eddie Lacy last week. I know that James Starks came out, stole a couple touchdowns.
And a long one, too, yeah.
Yeah, and Starks, I mean, I think Starks looks better in that complimentary role, to be honest. I don't know if Lacy looks better in the starting role. I mean, he needs a lot of carries to get going, let's face it.
I think Lacy's one of these guys where he looks impressive, but then you look up and you're like, oh, he only went 4 yards.
He fights for every one of those yards.
Like 17 tackles, you know.
He fights for every one of those yards, Kevin.
Yeah, he does.
But no, the Raiders are a decent front. I mean, Khalil Mack has helped that defense out, you know, the front seven anyways. But their secondary is brutal. But so is Eddie Lacy someone that is inside of your top 12 this week, or is he more someone that you're like, no, I feel more comfortable playing him as like an RB2?
I feel more comfortable with him as an RB2. And the guy that I'm really looking at in that Packers offense is, I think last week I actually gave up on Randall Cobb in a couple of leagues. And, you know, he still wasn't actually very good, but in PPR, he caught a lot of balls. So he's the guy that I'm looking at this week and like, what's going to happen? Can he get on track? Because the Raiders have been much more vulnerable to the pass.
Yeah, he had 8 catches for 81 yards. He saw 12 targets. It was his he's only had 5 games this year where he's had double digit targets, which is not much like Randall Cobb, I guess.
Didn't necessarily see a lot of targets last year either. It was just insane efficiency. I think he might have been the most efficient receiver in the league last year. So that's not the case, obviously, this year.
Well, even Cobb and James Jones, I think it was through the first 3 weeks of this season, both of them together combined caught like 85% of passes. Yeah, but since then, Cobb is like one of the most inefficient wide receivers. But fortunately for him, the Raiders are awful against the pass, and Aaron Rodgers should have a field day. Now, the only concern is that they're traveling cross country and playing on the road. What do you think about someone that is sitting there with Latavius Murray and like hands up in the air, 16 carries, 27 yards last week? I don't know what happened with Latavius Murray. He was somebody that I was excited to see play this year in a full-time role. He started out the season well. Yeah. But as of late, he just hasn't looked very good. Is there anything that you've noticed about his game that would make you think that he could turn it around?
Well, I mean, unless you're Adrian Peterson or one of those types of guys, even Adrian Peterson to a degree, but you're subject to kind of how good that offense is. I mean, we were talking about, you know, TJ Yeldon and some other guys. Some people were concerned about him coming into the year because of the Jaguars offense. The same thing here. That offense is just not clicking. Carr is coming back down to earth, probably, you know, closer to where he belongs than where he was playing earlier this year. And you've seen the whole offense struggle. It's not just Murray. It's Cobb. It's Crabtree. It's Carr. It's everyone. That offense is just really slowed down.
It really has. And like Cooper, obviously, I mean, if you're still in the playoffs right now with Amari Cooper or Michael Crabtree, who combined for 19 yards last week, man, you're going to hope for shootout potential in this one. I mean, I'd trot Cooper out there as a wide receiver too and expect a bounce back game. He had one bad game earlier in the year, which he bounced back, and he caught over 100 yards passing the next game. So Amari Cooper, I mean, I don't know. If you have him, you're going to play him.
Denver's pretty tough. I was watching that. I was watching some of that game. They're pretty physical with the wide receiver. So hopefully he can get a little bit more room to maneuver this week and not drop. Yeah, he might have had a drop or two.
He did. He's had an issue with drops this year. Him and Mike Evans are atop the league leaders in drops, which hurts me to say because I don't ever want to say Amari Cooper and Mike Evans' name in the same sentence.
Well, at least it means he's getting open. You can't drop the ball unless someone's throwing you the ball.
It's true.
Seriously, if you look at the league leaders in drops, I mean, you have Evans, you have Brandon Marshall, you have Demaryius. Marshall's always there.
He's always there. Yes.
So 100%. It's like, you take the good with the bad with the good sometimes when it comes to drops.
Well, it's kind of like that whole, you know, most hated person in sports, like those polls that they have. And it's always going to be someone that's one of the best in the game just because they're highly publicized. The next game, there is not much to talk about here. The Browns at the Seahawks. I mean, Johnny Manziel against Seattle in Seattle. Isaiah Crowell, you're not going to play him. Somebody played him against me last week, and somehow I managed to win that game, which was a miracle in itself. But the Seahawks at home, we know we're playing Russell Wilson. We know we're starting Doug Baldwin at this point in the season, which is just madness. We know Tyler Lockett is somebody that's come on. Now, so that's two players. So there's two players I want to talk about. Tyler Lockett, all right, he's someone that I feel like you could trust in their passing game. His numbers have gone up ever since Jimmy Graham went down significantly. But I talked about Bryce Brown, okay? I said Bryce Brown is somebody they signed, okay? The Browns allow, the number was, I wrote it down, on average, the Browns 29 times. They opposing running backs touched the ball 29 times against the Browns, all right? Then I was like, Fred Jackson got the ball 8 times last week. That's it. 8 times behind a guy that they just cut. So I was like, all right, Bryce Brown, you're my sleeper of this week. You are going to be started in my top 15 running backs. And then the Seattle Seahawks go out and do the worst possible thing in the world. They sign Christine Michael. Kevin, talk me off of a ledge and tell me that I can continue to start Bryce Brown and be okay.
I can't tell you that. Nobody can tell. I mean, they want me to lie to you. You should. You got to preface it. Do you want me to lie to you or not? Because I can't do that to my partner in crime here. Who knows? Bryce Brown is not reliable. I mean, even number one, right? Even if no one else is there, and they talk about not liking Christine Michael, not liking these guys who you know, don't fit the scheme and don't do what they're supposed to do. Bryce Brown has never seen a hole that he didn't want to jump out and go around the outside. Like, he's the worst. And he fumbles all the time, too. Yeah. So, I mean, he just seems like, if you were going to pick up a bag, you said, I want this solid kind of guy who's just going to grind and get me yards, he's the last guy that you would pick up. So, I'm sorry. I can't endorse that, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. So, I'm going to give you this scenario, okay? That Christine Michael's not active. Okay, uh-huh. So it's just Bryce Brown and Fred Jackson active. Who would you start, Bryce Brown or Frank Gore?
Frank Gore, definitely.
Really? I mean, I thought about taking the upside.
I can't trust Bryce Brown. I'm sorry. I just can't. I can't do it. I mean, I think it's possible, but you got to give it a week. Unfortunately, you know, it's
not the best timing. Kevin.
It's not the best timing for that.
My players.
You got to give it a week, unless you're just, you know, you're in a maybe tournament sort of play.
Well, the worst part is that I had waiver priority over the guy that I'm playing this week. And I was in there debating between Brown and Denard Robinson. And at this point, I didn't know if TJ Yeldon was going to play or not.
Right.
And then I was like, well, Bryce Brown's the only one. I'm going to take Bryce Brown because it's the guaranteed carries. Like, I know he's going to get him. Right. And then all this has taken place. And of course the guy he grabbed Denard Robinson. So I'm kind of,
so you're saying Denard Robinson is going to have a big week.
Of course he is. He's going against me. There was a few players that let me down. I lost to my wife because of Amari Cooper. I'm just going to continue to blame him for all of my losses.
I had him in my biggest money league. And what was funny was I was leading big, and then my opponent had Aaron Rodgers, Demaryius Thomas, and somebody else, Gronk still left. Right. And then, but I'm just watching this zero for Amari Cooper, and it just stayed there. And I was watching a lot of the game, and I was just like, oh my God, it was so painful. I ended up winning by a point. Because he needed 20 points from Gronk and he got 19. And that's another thing. Well, this is for his total like fantasy douche thing here to go off on my own rant here. But like, why was Gronk still playing? And Brady still playing those? I mean, they finally took him out the last drive, but the drive before the last drive, there was a 0% chance they were going to lose that game. He is running. He's going down the seam, catching a 40-yard pass. These guys are jumping at his, like diving at his legs. I mean, I, of course, partially I was like, don't you dare, you know, score another point and beat me. But it was just a dumb move anyway. I think this Belichick, he gets lucky, man, sometimes.
I could not agree 100% more. And here's the weird part. I was watching that game and I had Amendola inside of this head-to-head lineup, okay, in DFS. And I was watching it and I just needed like two more points from Amendola to win, right? And the Patriots were up. I'm like, they're done. The starters, they're going to pull them. What are they doing? And then Brady comes back out in the field and I'm like, what? And you know, my wife looks at me and she's just like, yeah, they're not going to throw the ball. They're just going to run it. And I'm like, no, Brady wouldn't be out there just to hand the ball off. What's the point?
Yeah.
And of course they did run it and I never got the win there, but it was rather puzzling kind of what took place there. But either way, on to the next game, we have the Bengals at the 49ers. Andy Dalton obviously is out for this game. He's They've already said that he's likely to be out next week, too. I don't think he's playing.
He ain't coming back.
AJ Green did fine.
You may drop Andy Dalton, everyone out there. They play the Broncos next week anyway.
Exactly. That was going to be in there, too, that they're playing the Broncos. Yeah, so it doesn't matter if he plays or not. You're not playing him. But AJ Green, he's going to be salvageable. McCarron was willing to throw the ball up to him.
He got that one big pass. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Eifert doesn't look like he's going to play.
No, Eifert, no, he's still not practicing the concussion. Obviously, it's kind of a mess. That had so many effects. Andy Dalton's injury had so many effects on that team, like for the rest of the game, not just the team, but the Steelers too. All the players in that game, except for D'Angelo Williams, took a hit in fantasy with Dalton going down.
Roethlisberger, real.
He was a disappointment. That's 100%.
That was not good.
No, it wasn't at all. But one player that I'm trusting this week is Jeremy Hill. Now, he's somebody that I don't think trust in his name could have gone in one sentence earlier this year. And honestly, I don't even know if it's one that should be this week. I don't know if I'm wrong in this, Kevin, but I have Jeremy Hill as a top 10 running back. I just think that with McCarron there, they're going to try and pound the rock. And against the 49ers, it's a team that you could do it against. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, I think what you've seen, I mean, trust, you know, trust with strings. Hill, his usage has been going up and up and up, and this is profiles perfectly as a type of matchup where he's going to get some run because they're playing against the 49ers.
Yes, and that's how I feel. Gio Bernard should be a solid flex play. I just think that they're going to get 30 carries between the both of them. And I like Jeremy Hill this week. I think that he's a touchdown or two. Like, he's going to be in a lot of my DFS lineups this week. There's really nobody else to discuss there. You're going to play AJ Green. Marvin Jones is pretty much off the radar with Andy Dalton out. 49ers, nobody you could really trust there. Sean Drone was a disappointment last week. Has Travis Tavares Cadet stole passing down duties from him at all, or what happened?
Well, no, I think he got some run. I mean, I think it's just one of those things where Drone didn't get 100%. When he's not getting 100%, then it's not very good.
No, it's not very good at all. But moving on from that game, the Broncos are playing the Steelers. Now, this is one game that you would have wanted to circle on the calendar, you know, a couple, you know, maybe 6 weeks back, something like that. But, man, this is a game that I know a lot of people are expecting it to be extremely low scoring and whatnot. The Steelers should win. I think the Steelers are actually favored in this game by almost 6 points, which is just madness. I didn't think it would be that high. It's almost like they're begging people to pick the Broncos. The Steelers should win this game at home.
I mean, they're at home, right? So that
yeah. I mean, you get 3 points for at home, but you would think on a neutral field that the Steelers would be favored over the Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, the Broncos don't look so great.
Right. I mean, well, their pass defense apparently does. I mean, look at Derek Carr last week, 135 yards.
Their defense does, but their offense is no bueno.
But where are we at with Ben Roethlisberger right now? Now, they're playing the Broncos. It's obviously one of the toughest defense, if not the toughest in the league to play against when throwing the ball. Is he somebody that you could even try, that you would trot out there as a quarterback one? Or give me a few names that you might start over him this week.
Am I still over him this week? Yeah, you know, I think he can be a quarterback one. That offense, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, they're going to score some points. I mean, I don't know how exactly they're going to do it, but they're going to score some points. The question is, are they just going to score it on the ground? And they have scored a lot on the ground, so I don't think that he is a great play this week. And I was going to look for some other guys that I would start over him. And let me think. Some guys that you might not think about. I mean, it'd almost be a coin toss with someone like Alex Smith, quite honestly. Even though you don't feel good about Alex Smith, but I kind of like Alex Smith this week, honestly.
Against Baltimore? How can you not?
Yeah, so I think Alex Smith is a guy that I would like. Stafford's a guy that I would like over Roethlisberger.
You got those guys. Those are the guys that right I'm in the range with too. I would agree with that. Now I know we talked about Philip Rivers. What about somebody like Philip Rivers?
No, sorry.
Yeah, I can't do that with how nicked up.
I think Philip Rivers could play well, but I mean when they're just hanging threes on the board multiple weeks in a row, it's tough to see much from that offense.
Well, yeah, and where you can hang your hat on, you know, with Ben Roethlisberger this week, the Broncos played New England back in Week 12. They allowed Brady to throw for three touchdowns, 280 yards. They played Andrew Luck back in Week 9, where he threw for 252 yards and two touchdowns. So they can be had. It's going to be more difficult. But here's the thing, though, Kevin. Martavis Bryant, I think, fits. He could be that guy this week. The Broncos have only allowed two touchdowns to go over 100 yards against them, and only two wide receiver touchdowns all season, which is just madness. But the two receivers that went over 100 yards were both burners. Okay, we had Travis Benjamin and we had Marquise Wilson from the Bears. The two that scored touchdowns, one was Mike Wallace, and then the other one was Seth Roberts last week, which I don't know how that fits into all this, but either way. They're faster receivers downfield. Do you think that Martavis Bryant is somebody that you wouldn't be too afraid to stick into your lineup?
No, I think I'd be afraid to stick into I don't know. I'm afraid to put anyone into the lineup. But, I mean, I think Antonio Brown is just much safer to me. I mean, I'm not one of these guys that thinks Martavis Bryant is better than Antonio Brown.
No, I'm not either.
Of that out there. I think Martavis Bryant is a good complimentary receiver, but I don't know if he'll ever be a guy – that you can really trust. Because, I mean, think about the numbers he's put up this year. He had a few games where he got decently targeted, but he's got others where he's got bailed out by, you know, a rushing touchdown or a screen where he made some moves and scored a touchdown. So I wouldn't be that comfortable starting him, but I don't think he's necessarily the worst option.
Gotcha. Very good. Moving on to the next game. This is the last of the afternoon games, the Dolphins at the Chargers. The Dolphins last week. Now, Kevin, I don't know. You're probably going to say, Mike, what's wrong with you? I have Lamar Miller ranked as my number one running back this week. Am I crazy?
Yeah, you're definitely crazy.
I kind of figured that was coming, but I'm going to tell you why, okay? Obviously, you know, the coaching changes that have gone on in Miami between, you know, Dan Campbell and then now Bill Lazor getting fired. It's changed a lot of things. Okay. And if people want to keep their jobs with all the backlash that kind of came out after last week, there was no reason that the Dolphins, you know, needed to stop running the ball. There was no reason. The game was close. Lamar Miller, I think he got four carries in the entire second half and it went down after that. Ryan Tannehill is not a guy you want to trust. Now, the Chargers are the worst run defense in the NFL, according to our grading system. I love Lamar Miller this week. And the reason I put him number one, and I'll tell you the reason, Kevin, not to say that I don't think that someone else can outscore him. I'm doing it because I feel like he's a guy that needs to be in your lineup this week, regardless of who you're sitting there deciding between. I just think he's a guy that has to be in there against the Chargers defense.
Are you giving him the tags bump this week?
The tags bump, maybe.
This is gonna like this may just reorient his whole entire, his entire season could shift on this.
I'm hoping so, man. I liked him last week, and he was proving me right. And then they stopped giving him carries. Which
the thing is, they're not even a favorite though, so it makes it hard for me to like him that much. And they just don't want to give him the ball, and they like Ajayi to get at least a handful of carries. The problem is they're running the ball they're throwing the ball way too much. They love to throw it all the time, whether it's first half, second half, all the time. And Ryan Tannehill's not good, so then there's no drives getting sustained, and the defense is not good. So it's kind of flipped the script from last year. Ryan Tannehill was playing decently well, but he was playing decently well because the defense and the running game were sustaining drives also.
Well, right. I mean, I understand. Believe me, all this stuff makes sense. None of my ramblings about Lamar Miller have made sense, but I just don't think that the Chargers have scored 3 points, like exactly 3 points, in three of their last four games. Therefore, I just don't see them all of a sudden putting up 30 points on the board. So therefore, I just think that the Dolphins, it's going to be a competitive game throughout. I just feel like the carries are going to be there just due to the backlash from last week. And I know we talked about it. Phillip Rivers, we could both agree that we think that I would call him as I'd go as far as saying he's a lock for 15 points.
Yeah, lock is a little strong, but yeah, Miami's defense is awful.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Brent Grimes, but he just doesn't look good. But
he's had some tough matchups, but you're right. He's gotten toasted.
On to the next one. A Sunday night game. I am so excited for this one. The Cardinals at the Eagles. Who you got in this game first off, and who's a player that you're saying you must start no matter what? And don't say Carson Palmer, because we all know that.
I must start no matter what. How about, I guess you got to start like Michael Floyd if you got him, even though you haven't liked him. I mean, the Eagles pass defense is so awful that you really got to start him. I know you're excited about this game, but I mean, have you watched the Eagles play? it's not pretty, because it's like seven, like they'll score a touchdown in 2 seconds and then they'll go the next five drives and three and out. So it's interesting to see. I mean, but you're right. This is profiles is at least an exciting matchup as far as what the implications are for the Eagles in the playoffs and everything like that. So I think you got to start all your Cardinals wide receivers this week. That's for sure.
That's why I'm excited. You got it. Now, you were, first off, you were right last week about the whole John Brown call. You called it. I started him, and yes, he did fantastic. The reason I'm excited.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those are both kind of a little bit fluky touchdowns.
Yeah. The John Brown one especially. I didn't know what happened there. That was some shoddy tackling.
Matador defense there.
The reason I'm excited for this one, though, is because I feel like the Cardinals never get to fully unleash the beast. Like, they're playing and they're on the road this week. It's like
I like unleash the beast. That should be their motto.
It's, yeah, they should this week. I just feel like it's a huge week. I wish I could fit Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald, and Michael Floyd into lineups, David Johnson too. Like, I just feel like this is a week where Philly's defense has been so bad that we finally get to see some fireworks, that it's going to be like, okay, this is going to win some people some money. It's going to be, I think there's some Cardinals in here that are going to win people their fantasy weeks. You're not trusting any receiving options for the Eagles. You know, Tyrann Mathieu is going to cover Jordan Matthews. Now, how would you rank the Philadelphia Eagles running backs at this point?
They're just all, I mean, Sproles is their best running back, but they're not giving the ball enough.
It's funny you say that. I actually have Sproles the highest ranked because I like the Cardinals are really good against the run. They've only allowed the second most rushing yards, but they've allowed the second least rushing yards, but they've allowed the fifth most receiving yards to running backs. So I think this could set up as a Sproles week in like a comeback mode where a bunch of dump offs.
Don't think that's weird though about the Eagles. It's not like the Patriots where you can kind of clearly delineate the rushing and the receiving backs. All those guys catch balls sometimes. So even in games where, you know, you should be catching a lot of balls, they don't necessarily do well. But you're right. I mean, Sproles normally does well when they have matchups like against the Jets or someone like that. So, yeah, I'll give that to you. This is a good week for him.
There you go. The Monday night game, Lions at the Saints. This is in New Orleans, so you got to like Drew Brees and his receiving options.
What about Hightower? Can we give ourselves a pat on the back for that?
We can. I think we can.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, too.
He had more bursts.
Why people hate Hightower so much. He's playing on the Saints at home. They're supposed to score 27 points. Spiller's still not ever playing at all. I mean, you know, put this guy in your lineup.
Now, here's a question for you, Kevin. I can see you like Hightower, and I like him as a back end number two. Denard Robinson or Tim Hightower?
No, I go Hightower. I don't know. I don't know why guys like Denard Robinson so much better. I mean, they don't score touchdowns on the ground for the Jaguars, but if you look at what Ingram and Kyrie Robinson, I mean, those guys were scoring a lot of touchdowns. I don't think Hightower is that much different. I mean, I really just don't think Ingram is that great of a player. I think he got into a good situation on a great offense. And for running backs, if you're not Adrian Peterson, I want you on a good offense and in a good situation. And I think you're always going to pick the Saints over the Jaguars.
Yeah, and Tim Hightower is in a fantastic situation this week on Monday night, usually a higher scoring game. We know Drew Brees can move the ball down the field against the Lions. Matthew Stafford, Calvin Johnson, get him back in fantasy lineups. What about Golden Tate, though?
You never like Golden Tate. I mean, last week is kind of, it's kind of lucky. I mean, he's really been disappointing. He just doesn't catch the ball more than like 5 yards down the field. I don't know. You assume there's going to be points to be scored. So Golden Tate, you know, you're going to start guys against the Saints defense. So I think he's startable, but I don't necessarily love him this week.
No, it's funny because a lot of people, it's funny. I think it was, I can't remember who it was. I think it was Evan Silva that said.
He doesn't have 80 yards in a game, I don't think.
No, he still has yet to top. I put something like that because I put him in this category on an article I wrote this week. I think it might have been 80 or 90 yards he has not topped, despite seeing monster targets.
Right.
Yeah, that's going to pretty much wrap that up. Man, we're in the second week of the playoffs. I mean, we only got one more week, Kevin, one more week of the season. Yeah. I don't know if now is the time to get cute, which is, I mean, it's tough because like me, like I said, Bryce Brown, I'm looking at it. Actually, here's the decision I have to make, Kevin. You're going to make this decision because you did me right last week. Okay.
All right.
Bryce Brown. Okay. This is a full PPR.
Uh-huh.
Bryce Brown or Amir Abdullah. Those are my two options. That's all I really got.
I wish I had been paying more attention to what Amir Abdullah has been doing recently. I remember he had a good game a few weeks ago and they've been bringing him more into the offense. I mean, I just got to check to see what he's done the last couple of games. Because Lord knows I haven't been paying attention to anything that he's been doing. He's not bad. You know, Abdullah, I don't trust Brown. Sorry. I mean, okay. I realize it sets up extremely well, but just who knows what's going to happen with that team. And I like Bryce Brown as a talent, too. I just don't know if you can trust him getting the ball.
Yeah, and the Saints allow over 20 points a game to opposing running backs. So, I mean, there's a lot to like there. It's just, man,
I wish he was getting more involved in the passing game, I guess. Well, you know what? I'm going to reverse myself. Bryce Brown, let's go for it. You know, let's go for it. I'm reversing myself. No. Ignore what I said there. Bryce Brown, why not?
All right. Because I don't want to come back next week.
And three fumbles.
I don't want to come back next week and be like, see, I told you, you should have just listened up first. Like, and just turned it off after that.
Plus, you weren't going to listen to me anyway. Your heart is set on Bryce Brown, so I'm with you.
All right. Well, I hope you're right. I hope I'm right. I hope it works out. Go big or go home, right? But guys, don't forget, you guys can subscribe to us on PFF Radio, on iTunes, listen on Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, as well as watch the show on YouTube and Fantasy Sports Network. Kevin, do you have any parting thoughts before we let them get out of here?
You know, I just like you were mentioning here, I guess kind of go big. You gotta win this week. So You put those guys in your lineup that can put up big scores, because more often than not, when you hang one of those huge scores with one of your players, that's when you get the winning week. So Bryce Brown, everybody.
There you go, guys. Bryce Brown. He's going to win you your fantasy week. All right, guys. We're getting out of here. We will see you next Thursday for the championship week in fantasy leagues. Well, most of them anyways. But until then, guys, lights out.
PFF Radio is powered by Pro Football Focus. Follow PFF Radio on Twitter, at PFF Radio. Also follow us on Twitter, at PFF_fantasy. Join the conversation and like us on Facebook, and plus one us on Google+.